what they're trying to say? One point. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all that is what he said. I read the book, I read Madame Guyon's book, I read all these books and summarize for you what they're trying to say. One point. Christ in us. He lives in us. That's the secret of the Christian life. The secret of victorious living. It is no secret. Right, okay. So, Colossians, please. Colossians. And here's a verse I want to read to emphasize that same point. Chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Again, there's a mistranslation. Now, Greek scholars, you know that preposition to and preposition in are different. And preposition of and preposition from are different. But of and from are related in the Greek, because they are what we call the genitive and the ablative case in the Greek. But to, in, by are dative, locative and instrumental case in the Greek. The Greek actually says this. Through faith of the operation or energizing of God. What a difference. Now I can understand why the translators translate it this way, because in our English phraseology, we understand faith to be just faith in God. But there is a teaching here that Paul is bringing forth about the gift of faith, which manifests in his presence in our life. Galatians 1 and Galatians 2. Now, Galatians 3 and 4. Praise God. Some of you came tonight and say, praise God, short book, like he will end by 10. Now let's go to Galatians 3 and 4 so we can end. Right. Galatians chapter 3. I praise God for those of you who have that patience to wait and you sacrifice and say you came all the way and all this. But I sacrifice too by coming down here. Right? I actually could arrange my flight back on the same night. Going to stay, but I felt that it's not fair to minister to people with a tight schedule like that, and that's why I say I'd rather stay one night and then you can minister as long as you like. If people have need, just minister and then go back the next day. So, right, two ways, right? You sacrifice, I sacrifice, and we all give glory to God. Galatians chapter 3. Just to encourage some of you who are going back late, and somebody asks you, where do you go? Bible study. Why Bible study come back at 12 o'clock? So it's the only Bible study that go back at 12 o'clock. But we do try to end at 11. Well, we will. Okay. Galatians chapter 3. It says here, as he moves into the second area of working, there is the energizing of his spirit. What is the first energizing? First energizing is the faith of Jesus Christ. This book is about faith. The faith of Jesus Christ energized into us, coming into us, and we got to operate and walk on that area. Now we see chapter 3 here in verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Implying here that he's continuing to supply the Spirit and doing the miracles because of that faith that continues to move and work in our lives. But the strange thing now is that he brings Abraham into the picture. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so he says, therefore now, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Then he continues to talk about, remember he said to correct the difference between the law and grace. And he points to the purpose of the law here in chapter 3, verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. It says that the law only came after the promise. And it says here, verse 17, "And this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ." To summarize what Paul is saying from chapter 3 verse 1 to 17, he's saying here that when God spoke to Abraham about 430 years before Moses got the law, God gave a promise about that faith that was going to come. And he says 430 years later the law came. So he's saying, his argument is this: the law came after faith, not faith come after the law. He's trying to show the preeminence of faith. So when he explained the argument up to verse 17, he's now showing in verse 18, why then must the law come? He's saying that the law was added because of transgression. In other words, God promised that he would send faith in the form of a person, and that person is going to impart faith to all our lives. It was preached and it was prophesied even from Abraham's time. The day is going to come. The day is going to come. There's something better. Better covenant is going to come. What is a better covenant? The gift of faith coming down. And it's prophesying. But before we could reach that day, sin abound, transgression abound. So God added the law so that we could last till Jesus came. The law, he says, was added because of transgression. So he says, this addition of the law was to preserve us until faith could fully manifest. The promise of faith came and the fulfillment of faith was on that side. In verse 23, he says, "But before faith came," before faith came, isn't it wonderful when you understand what it's saying in chapter 1 and 2, that faith is a gift. I live by the faith of the Son of God. That gift of faith that comes when Jesus comes, before faith come or came, we were kept under God by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Now, read that carefully in verse 23 and analyze it, scholars, whether what we are saying is exactly from the Bible. Because if you read Hebrews 11, there were many other people who lived by faith. Hebrews 11 is an account of all the Old Testament saints who live by faith. The key word in Hebrews 11 is faith. And Paul is saying here that faith has not happened yet. Look at what he's saying here. Because what we are saying is the gist of what Paul is teaching in Galatians, that faith is a gift and it's going to come one day in the new covenant. And we miss it when we put faith in God. The whole revelation is completely hidden. Well, when you read it in the Greek, you see that it's the word off. Off. And Paul is saying, faith is going to come. The faith of Jesus Christ. And the law came to keep us under the revelation of that faith. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Now, Christ and faith are now synonymous in these two verses. That we might be justified by faith. And it says, when faith came, then we don't need the tutor anymore. Because you are graduated into something better. He continues that theme to show forth in verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Christ Jesus. And you can analyze the word in, of, all over again. So, when you begin to see all these words, faith of, faith of, faith of, there is a certain teaching that comes out that you cannot miss. Through faith in Christ Jesus, it says, as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Christ has now come on your life. Let's continue chapter 4. It says in verse 6. Having become sons, it says in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now His Spirit comes into your lives. And He says in verse 8 and 9, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. Now you have known God, or rather are known by God. Why do you say, or rather you are known by God? Because it's God's faith in you. How is it that you turn away to the weak, beggarly elements which you desire again to be in bondage? And Paul talks about the bondage that they are going back under the law. Going back to the old ways. And Paul says, in comparison about Abraham in verse 22, Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. One represents the son of the spirit, the other the son of the flesh. That's his analogy. What's the key teaching here that he's bringing forth in chapter 3 and 4? Notice here, in chapter 3, he says, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at verse 14. That we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Now isn't that powerful? First of all, he talked about the faith of Jesus coming to us. It brings that presence of Jesus Christ. Then he says, with that faith, you could receive the Holy Spirit, who brings another measure of indwelling in our life. We have over here the new spirit. We have over here the Holy Spirit. Now that increases on our life. Which is why, when we are born again, it's one aspect. When you're baptized with the Spirit, you receive a greater ability and measure where all your senses could come to experience God in a greater measure. God is also, knowing God is experiencing God as well as knowing about God. So here, the Holy Spirit is the key aspect. It's the energizing that's going to come by the Spirit. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. Here, with the faith of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is coming to dwell on our inside. A second energizing force. The first, as if not enough. To be born of the new Spirit is tremendous. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new species, a new creature in Christ Jesus. As if that's not enough, he says, now being a new creature, he's going to send the Holy Spirit down upon your life. Fill your life with the Holy Spirit and bring you into a greater presence than ever before. The Holy Spirit is sent to bring us a greater taste of heaven. All the gifts of the Spirit are only aspects of heaven. There's a tremendous teaching. I don't know if I mentioned it here or somewhere else. But let me mention. When God began to show me that a word of knowledge is only a portion of what is normal in heaven. You see, in heaven you will know as you are known. That's 1 Corinthians 13. In the spirit world, you know things. When you meet Habakkuk in heaven, although you haven't met him on this earth, you say, "Hello, Habakkuk." You won't have to go around with a photograph and say, "Do you look like that?" Because everybody may look different in heaven because you all be perfected. You can still be recognized, but you'll be in your perfected state. If you're 80, you go there, you probably, that,